I'll remind you today as we move on. Our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. There's nothing too hard, nothing too hard for our God. Can y'all sing that? Our God can do. Yes. Our God can do anything. There's nothing too hard, nothing too hard for our God. There is no mountain or no river that can stop His wonderful love. There's no power or no weakness that can change His timeless word. Our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. There's nothing too hard, nothing too hard for our God. There is no mountain or no river that can change His faithful love. There's no power or no weakness that can change His timeless word. Amen. Oh, our God can do anything. Our God can do anything. There's nothing too hard, nothing too hard for our God. Amen. There's nothing too hard, nothing too hard for our God. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that we can prophesy on the instruments. So I'm going to take a moment and release some songs and sounds. You know, we've got to remind ourselves that the Lord's anointed and given us various forms, a way to minister, and that He ministers through. So as I release some playing, I know God is going to release healing. Even as David did for Saul, deliverance, songs of deliverance, songs of healing, songs of newness, sound of wholeness. So I want you to receive this morning, even what Dr. Janet spoke at the end of that song. God is great. There's no one greater. I want you to receive healing right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I specifically saw an elbow that was damaged, getting restored and healed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. There's a sound of mobility returning to those who've been stiff, immobile, able to walk again, able to move about again, even restrictions coming off, even now, limitations coming off. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Thank you, Lord, for miracles. Hallelujah. Seen peaceful garden. Someone keeps trying to go back to this peaceful garden. They keep yearning, trying to go back. God is saying, I'm creating a new garden for you. Never go back. I'm creating a new place. Never go back. I have better. I have greater for you. Receive that from the Lord. There's greater things ahead. Greater things ahead. I just hear somebody say, if I could only go back. If I could only go back. The Lord is saying, look ahead. Look ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Since somebody here was really enjoyed running and they seem to have lost that joy because they can't do it like they used to. Lord said, I'm restoring your legs, I'm restoring the joints, I'm restoring it for you to run a new race, for you to walk in a new walk, in a new rhythm. Thank you, Lord God. You feel like you've been running in place over and over again. The Lord says, I'm taking you off the treadmill and I'm putting you back on the runway. Thank you, Lord, for that restoration. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God is powerful. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Well, it's such a joy to be with y'all today and to worship our God together and be with Dr. Janet and Apostle Leonard and all of you and see so many of you that we've known over the years. And, you know, it's just a great thing to be together. So today I want to talk to you about living the providential life. And it's interesting, you know, what we declare over our lives and what we believe. But what I have seen about providence is that too many people say the Lord will provide as a sigh of surrender. Oh, the Lord will provide. instead of a declaration of trust, a declaration of power, and a declaration of strength. Could you imagine where we know that came from? Probably the most famous passage that it's come from was when Abraham was about to offer Isaac. And Isaac said, "Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice?" And what did Abraham say? "The Lord will provide." Can you imagine what a declaration of trust that must have been at that moment? See, I believe God is wanting us to understand truly how to live a providential life. Amen. Amen. It's a declaration of trust. And it's really simple to understand. You know, providential, okay, the main point is this. If God planned for a ram to be in the bush so that Isaac wouldn't die, amen? If God planned for Jesus to be slain before the foundations of the earth, do you think he was providential? You know, so I can say this with all faith. If God has planned on Adam, and he planned on Abraham, and he planned on Jesus, then he planned on me. So, if God has planned on me, then I can what? Plan on God. I can plan on God. All right? So, let's define providence real simply. Providence is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. Sounds like being organized, doesn't it? Y'all with me? We're all my chaotic friends. We want to be organized, right? We want God to move in our life and move in our behalf. So providence is preparing for future use or application. What is divine providence? The care or superintendence which God exercises over his creatures and his creation. All right? What God creates, he sustains. Amen? So the very fact that we exist means we were created. The very fact that we were created, which means we are sustained. Okay? Because God has a plan. All right? A providential life is a plan that is a person that rests in presence, okay, believes in prophecies, and offers worship as a soundtrack for life. Let me repeat that. A person who lives a providential life rests in his presence. They believe his promises, and they offer praise as a soundtrack for their life. Y'all know what a soundtrack is? It's something you sing to, but you know what else it is? It's a movie. It's a story. It's the music of your story. Why do producers put music on a screen or sound on a screen? Why do they add music to it? To transfer the emotion of what you're seeing to you. It completes the story. So what happens is they come up with the music to manipulate the scene. It lines up with the scene. Okay? But what's the problem with that? Somebody else is creating your soundtrack. What we want, see, it's lined up so that when you get to that scene, you're scared by the music. You understand that? Transfer the emotion. So what happens when you come into a scene and you haven't offered up praise as a soundtrack for life? This allows you to control how you're going to face difficult situations. Amen. When you offer up praise, you are preparing your soundtrack. Amen. So that when you face things, I know what I'm going to sing. I know what victory sounds like. It may not look like it, but I know what it sounds like. So we're going to believe for that. So let me think. Regular providence is, you know, preparing for future use. Divine providence is what God has prepared for. Prophetic providence is preparing for that which no one else can see. God gives you something, you feel like you're preparing for it, but nobody else notices it. Prophetic people are kind of like that. We are divine with our providential plans, and we believe God is moving on us. See, if you want to be providential, you plan. That's like God. God plans, right? How many know God said, all right, first day I'm going to create this, second day I'm going to create that, third day this, that, the seventh day I'm going to rest. You think that was a plan? The very fact that God has a plan proves there's going to be providence. The very fact that there's providence proves there's a plan.
So what is God providing for? Why didn't he have you born 1,000 years ago? Because he had a plan and a future use for you. Today. Amen? What do we sing? Today. What do we sing? God is in control. So we understand that, right? Providence exists because there is a plan, and providence appears when our persistence aligns with his plans. Do you know that Abraham was persistent in following what God said to do? And it wasn't until he walked out that obedience he came to the moment of providence. Sometimes we have to keep walking into our providence, allow God to move on our behalf. And there's a few principles I want us to see as we look. Now, the scripture references Genesis 22, all right? Did you know that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world? Talk about a plan, providential, you know? And that's why I wrote in that lyric, long before the earth was fashioned or the darkness fell away, you were dying just to love us and make a way. Because he was slain before the foundations of the world. Amen? And understand that that's a mighty providential act. I know my people that I create are going to mess up. But I also know I'm going to provide a way. God was providential. Jesus was the greatest act of providence ever planned for. Right? What if you know God didn't wake up when Adam fell and went, oh, what am I going to do now? Right? He's all right. In the future, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to fix all this. Okay? And so we understand that. As they were going up in verse 8, it says, God himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. That's what he said to him. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on the fire. Then he bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar. Then he reached and took his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from him and said, Abraham, Abraham. You know, sometimes you don't always see everything in Scripture when you read. Other times you'll see different things. But I wonder why he didn't say, stop! Yeah. I mean, we're talking about moments from killing somebody. But what did the Lord say? He called him by his name. He called him by his promise. He called him by his purpose. He called him by his identity that God saw him. See, our problem sometimes is we're listening for somebody to judge us and yell at us and tell us to stop when he's calling our name all along. And he's speaking to our purpose. He's providentially speaking. He spoke to what Abraham was and the father of many nations. He called him personally. Hear God call your name. And what happened next? He said, do not lay a hand on him, for now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your only son. And at that moment, Abraham looked up, opened his eyes. And he saw a ram in the thicket caught by its horns. We need to recognize that sometimes somebody else's mess is our providence. All right? That ram was in a mess, but it was the providence of God to provide for Abraham. You know, sometimes our own messes can be turned into providence. Or is it already providence? It's already. All right? So, what do? We trust the Lord. Because God has planned on me, I can plan on him. I can trust
him that my life is going to be good. So providence occurs because God is providential. Providence occurs before we see it. Y'all remember going to elementary school? How many of y'all ever had a parent that packed your lunch? All right. How many of you didn't expect your lunchbox to be empty? You sat down at the lunch table, you grabbed that lunchbox. I'm going to tell them myself. I grabbed my Adam 12 police lunchbox. Anybody remember Adam 12? That was back on TV when you had to be there or you missed a show. You couldn't binge watch it. You couldn't watch it later. You couldn't stream it. If it came on at 7 and you missed it, you spent the rest of the evening in depression. Oh, Lord, next week, I got to wait a whole other week. Anyway, but when you open up that lunchbox, my Adam 12 lunchbox, I flipped it open. How many of you, I was glad my mom was providential. She planned ahead, and she put things ahead. See, some of y'all are looking for miraculous when you need providential. Now, God is miraculous, but if you want to be like God, God is providential. You know God aligns miracles? He already knew Jesus was going to be conceived by a virgin. So he's lining up the miracles, lining up these things to happen. So simple acts of providence are that when your mom makes your lunch. How about acts when you discover oil? Or when you discover gold? Or when you discover minerals or diamonds? They were already planned ahead for discovery. God placed them in the earth. Why? So somebody would discover them. So are we digging deep enough for providence? Testing always prepares us for providence. And obedience is the opportunity to obtain trust. God tested Abraham so that he could prove his providence. We should not despise our test. It's an opportunity for God to prove he's already been thinking about us. Amen? So having a few of those understandings, we want to know that we're walking in this, okay? So if I could say faith in God, it also means trust in God. Amen? So if you trust someone, are you constantly badgering them about are they going to do it? Someone's reputation will define how you interact with them. Right? Are they going to be there? Oh, yeah. They're always there. So trust gives me a peace to know that God will be there. So I have these understandings. So if God has planned on me, I can plan on God. Let me give you a few proofs of providence. Presence is proof of providence. The Lord's presence is proof of providence. Why? Because if he is with me, he's got a plan for me. And if he's got a plan for me, he's going to provide for me. Okay, here's what he told Joshua in chapter 1. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So what do we say? If there's providence, that means there's a plan. If there is a plan, that means there's providence. And presence is proof of providence. God has already provided for you. God will provide for you. God will provide because he already provided. He is providential. Do you know in Psalm 139, we referenced it this week, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? His presence is proof of providence. So when you know God is with you, no matter where you go, God will provide. Because God, what? Has already provided. He told Joshua, all right, now you're going to go places. You're going to face things. Don't be afraid. Don't back down. Why? Because I'm going with you. Hey, and that changes everything. You're with me, God. We're going to do this together. Think about that. Think about the faith that it must have been released in Joshua. Man, he's got to fill the shoes of Moses. Wow. I mean, this has to do with the Ten Commandments. Yes. Yes. So, presence is proof of God's providence. How many of you have believed in the presence of the Lord? How many of you have tangibly felt the presence of God? Yeah. Amen. God is with us. Even if I don't feel it, it's true. Because His Word says. Amen. God with us, Emmanuel. Then He gives us His Holy Spirit. Then He promises all throughout His Word, you'll never be alone. I'll be with you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, I'm there with you. So presence is proof of providence. Let me give you another proof. Prophecy is proof of providence. If God has given you a prophetic word, that means there's a plan. And if there's a plan, there is what? Providence. There has to be. Because why? God is providential. Just imagine that. God is providential. If God has created a plan and He has set forth His plan in motion, He will provide that what is needed to fulfill the plan. And you are a part of His plan. Can you truly say, I am part of God's plan? Can you truly believe you're part of God's plan? So if I'm going to live a providential life, that means I'm going to be like God. I'm going to plan ahead. God has planned on me. I'm going to plan on God. Even if I walk into something I don't know for sure, God's got this. God's got this. Because He has a plan. And I am part of that plan. And in some ways, I am providential. Some of y'all need to realize you are a providence because you are who God provided for someone else's promise. And I want you to get the concept of this because this is very important to living a providential life. Do you know that Jesus was a promise God made David? Do you know that? He said, from your throne, from your family, will come one who will sit on the throne forever. Did you know that David was a promise God made Abraham? Well, how do they connect? Well, didn't God say, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. And out of you, the nations of the earth shall be blessed. The families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, how does that connect Abraham and David? Because Matthew said, now this is the genealogy of Abraham, David, and Jesus. See, there was a lineage from Abraham all the way down. And you know that Abraham was a promise that God made Jesus? Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was a promise to David. He was. Well, I thought David was a promise to Abraham. He was. Well, I thought, now Abraham's a promise to Jesus? Yeah. Why? Because through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham is a promise to Jesus? What did he tell Jesus? He told Jesus, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Do you see the amazing promises of God? Proves providence. And some of you are providence. Some of you are evidence of providence. Come on. Come on. Really. You weren't born just for you. You're not a self-contained entity. Some of you need to realize some of you are feeling worthless when you're actually the evidence that God made somebody else a promise. God made somebody a promise and you came along and fulfilled it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. You know, I laugh because I told this story about the covenant my dad made with my family. He wasn't saved and he played music. He got saved with my mom, married my mom, and said, Lord, I'll give my talents if you bless our children with talent. So 12 of us can sing. There's 12 in my family. It's like, how many kids did God have to give them to prove His evidence?
My first sister could sing. My brother could sing and play. My next brother could sing. And my next sister could sing. You know, all the way down the line to number 11. It's like, how many, you know? But all I know is I'm glad. Right? I thought I was the perfect child until I figured I had a younger brother. I used to figure out, well, you're having so many kids, so you're looking for the perfect child, right? Anyway. So, promises, prophecy. Why? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for hope and a future. Okay? So, are you in God's thoughts? Are you in God's plans? Are you providential? Are you evidence? The ham sandwich I pulled out of my lunchbox was evidence of my mom's providence. And my consumption was an act of obedience. All right. I didn't want to let my mama down. I didn't want to take back an empty lunchbox. They used to call me, my nickname was Ham Sandwich. Because, could you imagine? Because I didn't like all the things that was made. My mom was a great Southern cook. But if I didn't like it, she, can I have a ham sandwich? You'd rather have a ham sandwich than, yeah, well, I did love fried chicken. Anyway, so believing prophecy is your act of obedience. When you believe what God has said about you, when you believe His prophetic word over you, you are showing God that you are obedient to the evidence of His providence. And you're lining up with His plan. Tyron, God has given you a plan. He has spoke a word over your life today. That's proof that He is providential about you. Prophetic words are proof of providence. He speaks because He is. He has because He will provide. He is powerful in what He releases. And I want you to know God also hears your conversations. I know the thoughts I have towards you, but He also knows the thoughts you have towards Him. What did He say when Sarah laughed? I didn't laugh. Did you not laugh when I gave you that word? But He also hears the cries of your heart. He hears the desperate prayers. He sees the worn out knees and the torn up Bibles and the smudgy iPhones from reading the word and reading. God will hear what you're saying. And He will incorporate your plans as part of His providence. He will incorporate your thoughts as part of His plans. Lisa and I used to go to a local coffee shop. And being from a financially challenged family, let's get down to it. We were poor. All right? We didn't have a whole lot. So we went to the local coffee shop where you got free refills. So back in those days, our dates were worth about $3. We can go out on a date for $3. I never thought about how the restaurant felt about it. But we find a way. And I look back now and I call those times cheap talk, but priceless conversations. Because we shared everything that we wanted to do in life with each other. We talked about how we felt about God, what we wanted to give our lives to each other. And to the Lord, and live and call to ministry, answer what God has called us to. And so that's what we did. But in those conversations, we said, we want to have 5 kids. We talked about how many kids we want to have. We want to have 5 kids. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Jokingly. Well, to summarize the short story ever, this was before we got married. We were married in 1982. In 1989, we gave birth to our second child. In 1990, my wife was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And she had to have a full hysterectomy, and we couldn't have any more kids. So, okay, Lord. Okay, well, we thank you for the two. that we have. We're grateful, you know. So we went on life, went on serving the Lord. And God's, and my wife said, you know, I want to, this was, you know, in 2000, Lisa says, you know, we're really doing stuff in the church and in the kingdom, but I want to do some stuff in the community. So let's get involved in foster care. Because there were families in the church that were foster care. Okay, let's do that. So we get involved in foster care. All right. And a daughter and a brother comes up that need foster care. So we have foster care, turns into adoption. There were special needs. We adopted two kids, and we celebrated. And the promise of God, and I probably told you that before, but it's so powerful, is they called us and said, okay, now, your adoption date is this. We looked at each other and laughed. We said, that's our anniversary. We adopted our kids on our anniversary. It's like God was saying, happy anniversary. So we had four, and we thanked the Lord. So that was in September. And the next following April, we got a phone call from the agency, the foster care adoption. They said, you know what? That birth mother, she had another child. Do you want him? We went, five. That's our five kids. That's our five kids. Lord, you do hear. You do hear. Believe his promises. God can even take someone else's mess ups and turn them into your providence. These kids were a result of somebody else's mess ups. They had not the capacity to raise these kids. The kids were in danger. The kids needed families. So later on we talked about it. And we said, you were a bunch of kids and needed parents, and we were a couple parents needed kids. God, like, put us together, you know. But look at it this way. Sometimes providence is the gathering of pre-created assets for the moment of revelation. Do you know that God prearranged the thicket, he prearranged the ram, and then he brought the revelation to Abraham? God looked around and said, there's a family messing up here. You know, moving on behalf of these children. There's a family over here that's lost. I'm going to put these together. You know, we felt devastated, but we went on. These kids had no idea what they were going through. You know, but God rearranged those messy assets so that revelation of providence could come. And we declared he is our provider. So presence is proof of providence. Prophecy is proof of providence. And do you know what is another proof of providence? Praise is proof that you trust providence. How can I say that? It's because you are choosing to use your breath as a praise instead of a whine. It's the careful planning and providing for future use. How are you going to use your breath in the future? How are you going to use that asset God gave you? I'm going to providentially plan that I'm going to release praise every day. I'm going to praise God every day. You see, my mother's act was what? Pulling my lunchbox. My mother's act was saying, take your lunch to school, Dean, it's there. What was my praise? Eating my ham sandwich. Yeah. And my barbecue potato chips. And my Little Debbie chocolate snack cakes. I've been trying to run from them ever since. You don't hear what I'm saying? If God has pre-packed your lunch, if he's pre-packed your life, if he has spoken to you, your lunch is in the lunchbox. Your life is in the Word. Your life are in these plans I'm releasing to you. Then the least we can do is eat our lunch. Amen. The least we can do is praise God. To offer up praise as a soundtrack for my movie. Amen. and my providence will be lived out. Now, remember I opened saying that too many people say the Lord will provide as a sigh of surrender. But what do we use it as? A declaration of trust. I don't know, but the Lord's going to provide. You know? And the other half is we plan properly with everything God has given us. And when we see something that doesn't line up, the Lord will provide. We're going to act in faith. We're going to praise in faith. So what do we have? We have presence. Why? Because if the evidence of providence means God has a plan. Why do you provide if you don't have a plan? So what do we have? Presence. What else? Prophecy or promises. And the third is what? Praise. So a providential person who lives a providential life is one who rests in his presence. Amen? Who believes his prophecies and who offers up praise as a soundtrack for life. Now, I want us to do an activation this morning. And I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm. When I pause, I want you to shout out as a declaration of trust, the Lord will provide. Okay? So, wait till I pause, and then we'll declare it together. All right? Are you ready to stand up with me? Let me pull up the right translation. And then we'll put this to the declaration post. All right. And we're going to look up Psalm 23. So, what is your response? So, we'll practice. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, that was better than a sigh of surrender, but not quite a declaration of trust. Let's elevate the fervency within us as an act of praise, okay? One, two, three. The Lord will provide. Amen, amen, sounded better. All right, now I'll look up and give you a clue. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord will provide. He leads me beside still waters. The Lord will provide. He restores my soul. The Lord will provide. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord will provide. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord will provide. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord will provide. You anoint my head with oil. The Lord will provide. Surely, oops, let's get one. We can't miss that part. All right. My cup runs over. The Lord will provide. I should have put that with the other phrase. All right. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord will provide. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Pastor Dean's going to go to the keyboard for just a few minutes, and we're just going to allow the Spirit of the Lord just to minister to us this morning. If you'd be seated. Father, thank you for your presence. As he was teaching on the providence of God, I remember in Bible college, this was my favorite doctrine, the providence of God.
Wow.
And as you just began to understand how God has planned ahead for our future, the word providence comes from the Greek word providere, which is where we get our English word video. And you see, it's all been laid out, like Pastor Dean said. God has already provided for us. It's a matter of us asking for, calling on, believing in that provision that God already set aside. because he's not surprised by anything. Not surprised by anything. But one of my favorite scriptures is from Isaiah 46:11. It says, from the east I summon a bird of prey. You see, God will bring a bird of prey to feed you. He brought the ravens, right? We worry about what we're going to eat. Well, God will provide for us. And from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. If someone right here will not fulfill the purposes of God, God is going to bring people from foreign nations to fulfill his purpose.
Yes.
What I have said, that I will bring about. And what I have planned, that I will do.
Amen.
That is the providence of God. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence today, Lord, that you're moving among us.